Well, my name's Matt, and I'm one of the guys on staff here. And last week, I began to talk with you about the topic of work. We spend a lot of our time in our lives working. And last week, we began to look at what the Bible has to say about it. Today, as we continue the series, I want you to receive something on the south side and here on the north side. And in a moment, after the offering is collected, the ushers are going to come with some buckets. And these buckets, not the blue buckets, that's next week. You're not going to put anything in these buckets, but these buckets have pennies in them. And I want everybody to take one penny out of the bucket. So they'll come in just a moment and begin to pass those buckets. And when they do, each of you just take a penny out. You can think of it as a penny for my thoughts this morning. Really, really, I'll tell you more about that penny later and what it's about. But I want everybody to have a penny and pass the bucket to your neighbor. Also, wanted to mention that I received comments and pictures from so many of you all this week that told me that you found those doors in your homes or in places that you work or places you visited, and it was so cool to hear from some of you said that you'll never look at those doors the same way. And that's exactly how it was for me when I first heard about that. I can't help but see Jesus and the gospel when I look at those cross and Bible doors. So thanks for those comments. And if you're wondering, what in the world is he talking about? What are these doors? You can check out online. You can listen or watch last week's service and find out what that's about. But we're going to continue today to consider how you and I can find greater purpose in our work. My daughter, Mary Elena, she's 3, and she's getting ready to start preschool in a couple of weeks. And Mary Elena has no idea, but in a sense, she is about to start her working life. She's going to go to preschool, and how she does in preschool will have some bearing on kindergarten, and how she does in kindergarten will have some bearing on the classes that she's in elementary school. And then they're going to test her for accelerated learning. And if she, that depending on how she does in that, well, that'll have some bearing in the classes she takes in middle school and then in high school. And that's when her GPA begins to accumulate, and that'll have an effect on what colleges accept her and how she does in college will eventually prepare her for a competitive job market. So she has no idea, but my 3-year-old is about to start her working life in a couple of weeks. We start young, and we start small, and we work. On average, we will work 47 hours a week, 100,000 hours in a lifetime. And when we retire, what do they tell us? Don't stop. Keep yourself occupied. Find something to do. Work is an enormous part of life. And last week we began to look at how the Bible points to a way that you and I can find greater purpose in our work as we follow Jesus. We saw that work was God's idea. He created us for it. And when we work as an expression of worship that flows out of our relationship with God, then we can cooperate with God and express who He is in the world around us. And that gives our work, any job that we do, greater purpose. This week, I want to focus our attention on how we work. How you do your job is more important than what job you do. Because it is in how you do your job that God invites us to find that greater purpose. It's in how you and I work, not in the work that we do, but how we do it, that God invites us to a greater purpose. Now, some of you this morning haven't yet decided what you really believe about God. And I'm glad that you're here. You have an opportunity this morning to listen to what the Bible tells us about life for those of us who have put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. And some of what I say today applies to all of us, whether or not we believe. And some of what I will say today will probably only make sense in a life of faith. But some of you might even this morning during our time choose to cross that line of faith and choose to become a believer. And God's invitation to life with Him and His invitation to greater purpose and work is an invitation for all of us. And so I want to pray for us this morning that we would be aware of how God is inviting you and I to life with Him and to work with Him. How are we doing on the pennies? Have we finished on the south side? I know there may be a few more of you. Just let that bucket keep going. But if you would, pause with me for a moment and let's pray. Well, Father, what a gift it is to get to be here this morning and to sing and to be with others and to hear their voices. Lord, I thank You for the encouragement of being with others this morning. God, I thank You that what they are singing and their voices and the strength of their response to You, Lord, it encourages me to give my response to You as well. And so, Father, we turn to You this morning and we give You our attention, and really we are looking for, are You inviting us to anything? And if You are, God, would You make it so clear that we do not miss it? Even if it surprises some of us, would You make Your invitation to us clear this morning so that we can take another step towards You and another step of doing life with You. And God, I pray that You would show us through Your word that work isn't just our thing, but it's something that You invite us to do with You. And we're looking for a greater purpose in that. And we ask that You'd show us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God's greater purpose for us at work is found in how we work. And I want to look at four ways that the Bible points us towards that greater purpose this morning in how we work. So first, it's in how you do your job that God can have the greatest impact. What you do is not who you are, but how you do it is. What you do is not who you are, but how you do it is. You are how you work. That's how people experience us. When we meet people for the first time in a social setting, we often ask two questions. What's your name? And what do you do? And those are easy questions usually to answer, but of course they don't tell us much about one another. Finding out what you do doesn't tell me the kind of person you are. But if I were to get to know how you do it, that would tell me something about you. I don't know you by what you do, but I can know you by how you do it. But it's easy to place more value in what we do. That's particularly true when we've been in a place of work, when we've been in a job for a longer time, when we've been building a career. What we do can become who we are. Or if we've been unemployed, then the loss of that job, the lack of a title or an occupation, can feel like we have lost part of our identity. And it can be that you and I become the sum of our accomplishments, and we become the title that others give us. And when what you do is where your identity is grounded, then when you're not doing it, whether that's on the weekend or vacation or eventually in retirement, then you can struggle to know who you are anymore. What you do can become what defines you, so that when we aren't doing it, we have a missing piece in our identity. But imagine if your identity was held not in what you do, but rather your identity was anchored in who God says you are in your relationship with God. Because when our identity is anchored in who God says we are, then we know who we are no matter what job we're doing. We can do any job and we can know who we are in God. We can know that we are God's child, that we are God's chosen one, that no matter what job I'm doing, I have been sent as God's ambassador of reconciliation. I have been sent as God's masterpiece of grace that He is making new, no matter where I am or what job I'm doing. When we know who we are in God, then how we do our job matters so much more than what job we do. We can do this as parents so easily. We can say that it's how you work that's more important than what work you do. And yet, it is so easy to emphasize the accomplishments of our kids. Maybe you grew up in a home where what you did mattered more than how you did it. And that is a reflection of our culture. We live in a culture where we really don't care how it gets done, as long as it gets done. But imagine if God invited you and I to put greater emphasis in how it's being done and not in just what we're doing. There's a letter written by Paul in the New Testament to the Philippians. And you have these words from Paul in your bulletin, and they'll also be on the screen. And these words from Philippians is a reminder that Paul gives to those people of who they are in Jesus Christ. He says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. And since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts like we've been doing this morning. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. It doesn't matter what you do. Christ is all that matters. And when He matters more than the job you do, then you and I can do any job as a representative of the Lord Jesus. God's way for us to find greater purpose in work is to make how we work more important than what work we do. Because when we find our identity in Christ, then it is in the how and not in the what that God can have the greatest impact. An old man spent his life shining shoes in an airport. And he didn't make much money doing that. And he raised a son, and this son grew up, and his son always wished that they were better off than they were. He resented his father for never trying to do something better with his life. This son grew up, and he worked hard, and he went to college, and he did well in college, and he did well in business afterwards. He was successful, and one day he was in a conversation with his dad, and he began to express some of that long-held resentment with him. And he said to his dad, "How could you have spent your life shining shoes? How could you have been content with that? Didn't you ever wish you had done something better with your life?" And the old man calmly looked at his son, and he said, "Every time I shined a man's shoes, I thought about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Every time a man sat down in my chair, he gave me the opportunity to bless and pray for him. Those men came and went, and they did great things in business, and they did great things in their communities, but I will never know the peace and the provision and the blessings that they received that I prayed for God to give them." You see, he wasn't just a shoe shiner. How he worked was supremely more important than what work he did. How he worked allowed him to not just serve his customers, but to serve them like Jesus. When your identity is firmly rooted in who God says you are, then you can do anything and find greater purpose there, because it's in the how that God can have the greatest impact. Secondly, how you do your job reveals your character. What is character? There have been so many books and articles written on the topic of character, and there is almost an equal amount of definitions that have been given to that word. Some say that character is who you are when nobody is looking. Others say that character is the evidence of your moral convictions. It's how you live based on what you believe is right or wrong. Others have said that your character is what spills out of you and onto others in your interactions with them. It's the impression that you leave on people. It's the way that you influence others. Our character gets shaped by our experiences in life. Our character gets shaped by our successes and our failures, by our family expectations, by the things we value, by what we believe, by the choices that we make. And our character is formed through experiences that are both good and bad, painful and nurturing. So imagine a bucket being filled with all these things, and then someone bumping into that bucket, and whatever spills out on them, that is like our character. We leave our mark. We spill out into our lives. Our character spills into our work and into everything we do. What spills out of you? What mark do you leave on other people's lives and in your work? God's desire is for our bucket to be so filled with Him, our lives to be so filled with His truth and with His grace and with His power and His love, that He is who spills out of us onto others and into our work. His desire is for our character to spill out onto others, and when it does, for them to get a glimpse of who He is in us. There's another definition of character that I want to tell you about. It's, in fact, the oldest definition of character. The word character is Greek. It's a Greek word. And it was originally the name of a tool. A character was a tool that a metal worker used to stamp an image into a coin. And so when that character was stamped into the coin could be recognized as currency by the traits that were left on it. So you can see how the word evolved over time so that we talk about character traits in a person. Characteristics, we recognize someone by their traits that are evident in them. We also know someone by their character, by the stamp they leave behind. That's why I wanted you to have that penny today. Pick up your penny and look at it. You and I can recognize a penny because of some character traits that are stamped on it. My wife's family lives in Canada. A Canadian penny looks almost identical to an American penny, except that it bears the image of Queen Elizabeth instead of Abraham Lincoln. It has a different character, which expresses a different image. Hopefully, all of you have Abraham Lincoln on your penny. Otherwise, the bank gave us some other currency, right? But listen, God created you and I in His image. You have it in your bulletin in Genesis 1. I won't read it, but I just wanted you to have it there. He stamped you and me with His image, and it is His desire that His character traits begin to form in our lives. What spills out of our lives and gets produced in our work, God's desire is that it would make evident His image in us. This is what Jesus did perfectly. The writer of the book of Hebrews says the Son, that's Jesus, radiates God's own glory and expresses His character, the very character of God. And so Jesus has done what you and I cannot do or have not done. We were created to do this. And Jesus has done it perfectly. Think about it for a minute. Does your character make God's image evident to those who know you? Think about it this way. How would those that you work with or work for describe you? Like Jesus expressed God's character, what do those who work with you know about God by your character? What is it that you have shown them about your God? A few months ago, Tom Hughes brought an idea to a staff meeting that he called Helpful Unhelpful. And it was an exercise in which a group of coworkers sit together and take turns telling one another what they do that's helpful and then telling each other what they do that is unhelpful. Tom is full of these kinds of ideas. And so a group of us on staff spent the next few months doing this. When we had a free moment, it would be someone else's turn in the hot seat to hear from everyone what they do that's helpful and then what they do that's unhelpful. Sounds like it would be kind of uncomfortable, huh? It was at times. But you know, with the trust and the friendship that we have formed and built together on our staff, it was remarkably positive at the same time. The helpful stuff was awesome to hear. You know, I want to hear that all day long. And the unhelpful stuff turned out to be not that surprising, actually. We could sort of guess at the flaws in our character. And still, I was nervous when it was my turn to hear what they might say about me. Because what we were doing was exposing one another's character. We were saying, this is how you work. And how you work is who we experience you to be. Not just the tasks you accomplish, but how you accomplish them. Some of it's helpful and some of it's not. And it isn't always pleasant to recognize the flaws in our own character. But God created us in His image. And when we rebel against God, when we disregard His words, when we turn our back or choose our own way, that sinful part of who we are makes it so that we do not show God's image to the world around us. Our character inevitably becomes what it was never meant to be. That happens to all of us. And God's desire is for His image to become evident in your life and evident in your work. How you do your job reveals the flaws in your character, and it also reveals your need for God to restore your character to God's image. Now, that isn't just God inviting you to work harder to be like Him or to polish up on the outside, because the hope for all of us is this, that Jesus Christ was dead, but He rose again to new life, and with that power, He can make you and I new. And He does that in part by producing a new character in us when we trust our lives to Him. The third way that greater purpose is found in how you work is that it is in the how that God wants to restore your character. We all have flaws. We're all broken. We are all sinners. But God invites you and I to something greater. Paul writes about it in that same letter to the Philippians. He says this to them, "May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation." Think of that bucket being filled with what Jesus has saved us for. "May you be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God." God sent His Son Jesus to produce character in us that expresses God's image. And we receive that character by giving our lives to Jesus and saying, "Make me new. I'm trusting You to make me new and to do what I cannot do with Your power, the same power that raised Him from the dead." Look at that penny again. There's a story in Matthew's gospel that I want you to hear, and it's about a coin. And I want you to hear this story and think about the penny that you hold in your hand. Let me set up this story, though, first. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 22, at this time, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were not, they were anti-Jesus. They were very much against what Jesus was about and what He taught. Because the religious leaders of the day believed that you and I could only be made right with God through religious obligations. And Jesus came along and said, "I'm going to do something in you that no religion could ever do. I'm going to produce new life in you." Jesus was not about religious obligations. He was about inviting us to do life with Him. And so those religious leaders wanted to shut Him up. They wanted people to stop hearing what He was saying and stop seeing what He was doing. They wanted Him either in prison or killed, and eventually they put Him to death, though He overcame it. And so that is the context of this story. The religious leaders come to Him, and they're going to try to trap Him with a question that could possibly, depending on how He answers it, could get Him arrested. Matthew 22, starting in verse 15. The religious leaders say, "Now tell us what you think about this. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus knew their evil motives. "You hypocrites," He said, "why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin you used for the tax." And when they handed Him a Roman coin, He asked, "Whose picture, whose image and title are stamped on this?" "Caesar's," they replied. Well, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. This story has often been used to explain a separation of secular life and sacred life. It has often been used to explain a separation between political participation and a life of faith. But I believe there is much more going on here than Jesus just saying, it's okay to pay taxes as long as you pay your religious dues. Because Jesus was not about paying religious dues. He was not about appeasing God through religious obligation. He was about inviting us to life with God. So Jesus refers to the image on the coin because he and all those who were listening to him knew Genesis chapter 1 and the story of creation. They knew in whose image they were created. That coin had Caesar's image on it. The penny that you have this morning has Abraham Lincoln's image on it. But you and I were created in God's image. And Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. When we go to work, it's not the company name that gives our work purpose. It is not the job title that gives you identity. We were created in the image of God to express His image to the world around us. There is greater purpose in your job when you give your life to Jesus and trust Him to produce a character in you that shows others who God is. How you do your job is so much more important than what job you do, because it is in the how that Jesus can renew our character. And lastly, it's in how you work that others are going to get to know who Jesus is. When your faith is in Jesus and His character is being produced in you, then how you work can help others come to know Him too. Imagine if your job became a setting in which people came to know who Jesus was and put their faith in Him. How could that happen in your workplace? How could that be done in your job? How could others come to know who Jesus is and come to put their faith in Him in your workplace? Notice Paul's words in Philippians again in that bulletin, put on your new nature. He says, clothe yourself with all of these character traits of Jesus and do your work as a representative of Jesus. There is intentionality in what Paul is saying. I can't just show up and hope that Jesus is evident in my life. I have to trust my life to God every day and trust Jesus to produce new character in me. And God has made a way for you and I to be forgiven of our sins, to be set free from our old ways of life, and to be made right with Him through Jesus. And He hasn't done that just so that we can count on heaven someday. He saves us and He makes us new through faith in Jesus so that we can do what we were created for here and now, to show the world who He is. His grace enables us to start fresh every day. His mercies are new every morning so that we can be intentional about helping others know our God. My dad is a retired veterinarian. He spent his life caring for animals. He specialized in small animals, dogs and cats and people's pets. My dad came to faith in Jesus when he was in college. And because of that, he began to follow Christ at that time. And so as his career in veterinary medicine began to build, then Christ's character was also being formed in him. And over the years, my dad would tell stories sometimes of leading some of his clients to faith in Jesus across his exam table at his veterinarian clinic. There would be the dog between them, and they'd be talking about the gospel. Over the years, he got to know his clients, and he prayed for them, and when there was an opportunity, he would invite them to respond to the gospel. You see, the way that my dad did his work as a veterinarian, he found greater purpose. And his clients didn't just encounter him, but my dad was able to show them and tell them who Jesus is. How we work becomes an opportunity for you and I to tell others about the God in whose image we were created. Every day we can wake up and pray, God, I don't just want to do this day my way. I want to do it your way. I want my character to be like your character. I want others to catch a glimpse of who you are and what you're like by how I work and how I interact with them. Alex, if you would come and join me, and Tommy on the other side of the street, I want to pray together with you this morning. And this is what I want to pray about. Work is not a necessary evil. Work is not just a way that you and I pay bills. It is about being out in the world and in the marketplace with the image of God that has been stamped on you. And it is about Christ's righteous character being formed in you so that you're able to show others who He is. Our work is about cooperating with God who made us for work and about expressing His image to the world around us. And God's great desire for you and I is to know Him and to trust Him to lead us to a greater purpose in life and in work. I have no idea what my little girl, Mary Elena, is going to do for work someday. I have no idea what kind of job she will have. But I can point her towards how she works long before she knows what work she will do. And I will point her to Jesus over and over and over again, so that she will learn to trust Him, so that His character is formed in her, so that no matter what job she does someday, she can show the world who our great God is. How you do your job, whatever job that is so much more important than what job you do, because it's in the how that God is going to have the greatest impact and the world around you. Would you stand with me? And I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer. On the south side, if you'd stand as well. And we're going to pray together. And if you're comfortable, I would invite you, as we begin to pray, just to put your hands out in front of you as an expression of openness to God. And I want to pray for us so that we can invite God to examine our character, to do that helpful, unhelpful thing. It may be a good exercise to do that with some trusted friends, but this morning we're just going to do it with the Spirit of God and just ask God to point out anything in us that needs to be made new, that's not reflecting His image. And then we're going to pray and invite God to make our character new and to add to us qualities that reflect our Savior. So would you pray with me, and just if you want to put your hands out in front of you. Oh Lord, I'm so grateful that my work is not just about me. And it's not just about what I can get. I'm grateful that you invite me to work with a greater purpose. I'm thankful that you invite every single person in this room, no matter what job we do, to make that job a place and a way to show others who you are. But God, I know that there are things about me that aren't the way you meant them to be. I know that's true of every person in this room. And Lord, I pray for me and I pray for us the prayer from Psalm 139 that says, "Search us and know us and find out if there's any way in us that offends you, and then lead us in paths of life. You see, the good news of letting God look in on our character and point out things that need to change is He has the power to change it. He can lead us in new life. And so, Lord, I ask that You would even speak to us right now and tell us, what is it that You want to add to us? What quality do we need to begin to follow Your example in? What quality do You want to produce in us so that we can show others who You are? Lord, would You just help us admit today that we need You to do that? And would You help us to ask You to produce that in us? We ask this of You because You are able. And because, like we were reminded in worship this morning, You are strong enough, and You are merciful, and You are with us. And so, God, would You do this work in us, we pray. We trust You in Jesus' name. Amen.